Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
What are values? Values are principles by which we live. And evidently, as we look at America at this moment, we see that we're in desperate, desperate trouble because of what? And we could say that there is a failure in our families, single families, whole families, to teach, to model values, values, traditional values. Now, you have in school curriculums, that's a hidden term for teaching our children political correctness.
The truth is, our world is in a moral decline, and change must begin in the home. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, Family Values, where he encourages you to go against the culture and create a home that values biblical truth. It's a much-needed message for today's politically correct world, and is coming up next on The Winning Walk. Before we get to today's message, we want to help prepare you for life's greatest challenge and most important calling by sending you Dr. Ed Young's book, The Ten Commandments of Parenting. In words that are clear, simple, and sometimes humorous, Dr. Young draws from decades of counseling and raising his own children to show you how to lay a biblical foundation upon which your family can thrive. We'll send you the Ten Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Family Values.
Today, we're going to get bad news. You leave, you say, that was a bad news sermon. It's going to be bad news all the way through. But we had two other weeks as we talk about parental guidance, and we'll shift from bad news to good news and for practical ways that you and I can build a healthy family in the 21st century. So just stay with me with the bad news. Because you got to have bad news all before you can ever have good news in the first place. Our scripture is bad news that fits the bad news we're going to be talking about. So open your Bibles, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 17. I'll begin reading with verse 9, then I'll skip and read to verse 13 following. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? King James Version, the heart is wicked, deceptively evil. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man or woman according to his or her ways, according to the results of his deeds. Verse 13, all who forsake you, that's the Lord, will be put to shame. Those who turn away on earth will be written down. Because they have forsaken the fountain of living water, even the Lord, heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, O Lord, and I will be saved. I'm going to ask everybody to lift your hands in the air, if you would. Everybody, hold your hands straight up, look up. Repeat after me, heal me, O Lord. And I will be healed. Save me, O Lord. And I will be saved. Put your hands down. And as I am teaching, when you see me lift your hands, I want everybody to lift your hands just like you did then. And we will pray that once again as a worshiping family. See if you remember. Everybody, heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, O Lord, and I will be saved. Our Heavenly Father, we lift up our voices and our minds and our lives to you. Meet with us today, and when we leave this place, may we remember one thing. We have been with Jesus. Speak through your word. Let me get out of the way is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Two families lived side by side for over 20 years. They were as close as I am to that column. Children about the same age, same economic condition, little gravel driveway between the two little houses. Children went to the same church, same school, listened to the same music, played together until they got to be in their teenagers, were intimate friends. Two families side by side. Any sociologist would study this family and that family. They would say, you know, they're almost identical. But the outcome of one family, and I know both of these families intimately, was absolute disaster. Child after child, son and daughter, lives that would break the heart of anyone. Disaster, tragedy, poor choices, disease, violence, criminals, one family. You read about that family, you would say, I've just never heard of anything quite as tragic as this. The other family, their sons and daughters, my goodness, magnificent. Everyone almost in a Horatio Alger story. Man, how they made good choices, how they married the right person, and the grandchildren came up, and all the legacy left behind of joy and fun and celebration and worship. Just a fabulous mom and dad and children and grandchildren. And that family, you'd say, boy, that's the family I would like for my family to be like that family. Boy, what a tremendous outcome. Two families, side by side. Economically, socially, educationally, vocationally, any way you look at them, all alike, one outcome, chaos, another outcome, magnificent. What's the difference? Somewhere it boils down to family values. Family values. Somewhere it comes back to parenting. Parenting. Now, you can talk to anybody in the Western world and you ask them what needs to take place in our culture to change it from the mess in which we find ourselves right now in history, and they will tell you, well, we need a return to family values. The left will say that. The right will say that. The middle will say that. Anthropologists will say that. Sociologists will say that. Counselors will say that. Everybody, theologians will say, we need to return to family values. And some people even put in traditional family values. Every politician, every person in public life, every person in every endeavor will tell you, oh, yes, we need to return to traditional family values. Now, the problem becomes, and when you begin to ask, what values? Where do you get those values? Whose values do we teach, do we live by? And then if you really want to get into a maze, look up in any scholarly work or look up in Mr. Webster a definition for value in the ethical sense, and you run into all kind of definitions. In fact, I've just sort of written one for myself. What are values? Values are principles by which we live. My definition. Principles by which we live. And evidently, as we look at America at this moment, we see that we're in desperate, desperate trouble because of what? Where are we today? Why is it that 135,000 high school students every day carry a concealed weapon with them to school? Why is that? Why is it that 48% of those who teach in junior high and high schools, our wonderful teachers, are contemplating leaving the profession they were trained and the profession they love because they are afraid of their students and they cannot keep order in the class in order to impart information? Why is that? Why do 24% of our boys and girls from the first grade to the senior year try to go the entire day in school without going to the restroom because of fear they'll be molested or embarrassed? Why is that? And we could go on and on. And we could say that there is a failure in our families, single families, whole families, to teach, to model values, values, traditional values. Now, you have in school curriculums values clarification. Now, that sounds good. You know, my son, my daughter's taking values clarification. That's a hidden term for teaching our children political correctness. So don't buy that bill of goods. And so the debate is there right now in the public arena. Whose values? What values? Where do they come from? Now, let me do something that is foolish and bold. Exceedingly foolish and exceedingly bold. I'm going to try to trace through Western civilization the transmission of values from the first century all the way till today. Now, I don't want someone to say, well, you left out. Well, hello, how long would you like to be here today? To trace the transmission of values from the first century all the way to today. Here we go. From the first century for hundreds of years, no one doubted of any significance where you get values, where you get ethics, where you get what is right or wrong. You look up, that's where you get it. You look up to God. You look up to transcendence because values were absolute. Now, people did not follow them perfectly. There was some little minor debate, but nobody of significance really doubted where the source of values were. What was right and what was wrong, that was not in the discussion. The Jews looked to the Old Testament, the Torah, there's values. Christians looked to the New Testament and the early church, taught by Jesus, Paul and Peter, etc., there is values. Even the philosophers, the Greek or Roman world, they looked at natural law and said by the givenness of creation and nature, you can see transcendent values that come from the Almighty. So you have hundreds of years from the first century forward that it was built in the Western civilization, what was right and what was wrong. You look up and that's where you got values, ultimate meaning and principles of life. And that is what you would teach and transfer from generation to generation with enthusiasm and with confidence that if these values were lived out, that life would make a difference and the whole society would move in the right and proper and godly direction for hundreds of years. We came up with that, so many of us. All the myths that we would read, they had a hero and a heroine. All the folklore had heroes and heroines. And we were familiar with all the Bible stories a couple of generations ago. The parable of the prodigal son, the greatest story ever told, by the way. The Good Samaritan, that was a part of the culture, part of the vocabulary. The parables of Jesus, those little pithy stories that had a punch right in the middle of morality and what was right and what was wrong. That was a part. What we read, our parents would read nursery rhymes to us. They had moral principles. We had heroes and we had heroines. And a lot of them were biblical, and Moses and Joseph. And same, we would read these, and that was a part. It was inculcated. It was taught. It was passed on. That was the culture for hundreds and hundreds of years in Western civilization until the 18th century. The so-called Enlightenment. When there were a group of scholars who said, you do not get values by looking up. That's not where you get values. You get values by looking within. Let me present three of these scholars. Listen carefully. Immanuel Kant. Immanuel Kant said, you don't look up, you look within, and you decide what is right and what is wrong, what your ethics are, what you do and what you do not do, by looking to your mind. You can figure it out. You're a human being. Just think it through. Look all the premises down. You can decide and you'll come out right every single time if you simply use your mind. Look to your mind. And so that was proposed. That was written about there in the 18th century. You say, well, what does all this have to do with us? Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. If you hadn't figured out yet, what is in the classroom today will be on the streets in just a few years. Don't forget that. So these are just ancient philosophers. Oh no, stay with me. That was the beginning of rationalism. Look to your mind. That's where you find values and ethics and what's right and what's wrong. Then another guy came along, Rousseau. Rousseau came to the picture, and Rousseau said, you know, Kant is right. You don't look up to transcendent values from the Almighty or biblical values that are written down. He said, you don't look up. Man, that's old-fashioned. We are enlightened. But he said, don't really look to your mind to figure out what's right and wrong. He said, look to your heart, your passions. If it feels good, it must be okay. You heard that? It must be all right. Look to your heart. And Rousseau taught that a child was born, a baby was born with a pure heart, a beautiful heart, a clean heart, and parents and others that try to influence that child, corrupt that child, just let that child express themselves all the way through the years, all the way through, and just let them go the way they want to go, using their emotions and their feelings and their heart, it will be a pure rose that will be formed, a beautiful life. That's what Rousseau taught. Modern education. Somebody said Rousseau didn't have any children. Oh, yeah, he had four. He had four by a peasant girl who was illiterate, and he systematically disinherited all four of them because of their lies. Follow your heart. Don't look up, look within. Don't look at your mind, but look at your heart, look at your feelings, and this is romanticism. Then a third guy came along, Friedrich Nietzsche came along, and he said, I'll tell you here, the 17th century is not right. Then the 18th century, Nietzsche, he came along and pushed us to another area. He said, look to your will to decide what's right and wrong. And he talked about the Superman, or the German said the Overman, the Superman, the Superwoman. To decide what's right and wrong, you just assert yourself. You just show your muscles. That's how you decide. And might makes right. This was the philosophy of Adolf Hitler. He was a Nietzsche follower down to the core. And Hitler adopted the saying that you'll see on your screen of Nietzsche. Look at it. The strong have the right to rule any way they see fit. It is might makes right. And it is the doctrine of perfectionism. If you assert yourself, you decide what you want. If you're strong enough to get your way and to do it, that makes it all right. See, I didn't break any law. That's what the German criminals at Nuremberg said. I didn't break any German law. I just used the might of the Third Reich. So you have these three guys saying, hey, don't look up, look within, look at your mind, rationalism, look at your heart, romanticism, look at your will, perfectionism, the Superman, the Superwoman, and you decide. And you see Nietzsche, you see all of these philosophers, their seeds have been spread all the way through our culture. Talk to somebody who's a humanist. Talk to somebody who's away from God and away from the church. They ask them how to determine what is right and wrong. They say, well, I just use my mind.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Deuteronomy 1, 28 through 30. Our brethren have made our hearts melt, saying, the people are bigger and taller than we. The cities are large and fortified to heaven. And besides, we saw the sons of Anakim there. Then I said to you, do not be shocked nor fear them. The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight on your behalf, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Moses sent Joshua, Caleb, and 10 other Israelites to spy out the land of Canaan, which they were about to enter. When the 10 gave their negative report, the people's hearts melted with fear. Is it any wonder? They became discouraged and disheartened. That can happen easily when confronted with a culture like we're confronted with that stands against God. When we see the giants of godlessness all around us in every way we turn, you and I can become discouraged. Our hearts can melt. As believers in Christ, however, we're compelled to hearten the disheartened. In other words, to wake up our hearts, to solidify our melted hearts, and Christ puts them back together again. So let's ask God to strengthen us and give us the resolve to stand against the godlessness in our culture and encourage those who are discouraged. And remember, the Bible assures us that our Lord God who goes before us and will help us stand for him in every situation we encounter. Those who are with us, you and I in Christ, are greater than those who operate the world.
We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. And we'd love to encourage you with a resource filled with proven truth to help you parent God's way. It's Dr. Young's book, The Ten Commandments of Parenting, and he wrote it to help you lay a biblical foundation for life's greatest challenge and most important calling so you can raise up the next generation of children to be disciples who spread the kingdom of God. You'll discover that there are no quick fixes to the tough task of parenting. God's Word has the blueprint you need to build a Christ-centered home. So call now to request The Ten Commandments of Parenting as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for listening in today on The Winning Walk. Join us again tomorrow to hear more proven truth from Dr. Young on how you can make God's values foundational in your home.